Welcome back to another episode of In Focus, the interview show where we talk with athletes, journalists, and other people involved in sports here at the Mojo Sports Network. I'm your host, writer, podcaster, all-around sports tragic. I am Alexander J, and tonight's guest may be familiar to some long-term listeners here at Mojo. Julian Balthazar owns an indoor sporting facility in Melbourne, Australia. He earned the nickname the Fantasy Team Fanatic after years crushing fantasy football and then fantasy basketball across the globe. He's joined me over the last year on at least 40 episodes of the NBA show at the network, and to top it all off, an all-around great bloke. During today's chat, we get to learn more about Jules, including how he came to own and manage a sporting facility, where his ambitious career goals are taking him next, how he ended up here at Mojo, and how he and I accidentally became quote-unquote business partners, kind of. Just a bit of housekeeping before we jump straight in. If you're a returning listener, please leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. That's the best way to help the show grow, support us, help what we do. Enough of that. Here's Jules. All right, Julian, thank you very much for joining me. A very special episode of In Focus. You and I, we speak every week. We know a little bit about each other, but today I hope to get to know a little bit more, pending on a lot about you. So start off, say hello to everybody. Tell us a little bit about who you are and 60 seconds on your background.
Thanks, Alex. It's really good to be here. I enjoyed Yuri and Tom's one-on-one chats that you had with them. I found out a lot about them, which I didn't know. I think it's great to know you guys on a personal level, and it's been obviously great chatting with you guys weekly about the NBA. And I think there will come a time where we meet in person, all of us, because we have formed some great bonds. And I think we could probably chat for 5 or 6 hours about basketball. So
at least,
you know, yeah. So we're never going to be shy of time, put it that way. But no, thank you very much for having me. I was thinking about how did I join the Mojo Sports Network? I know you asked me about myself, but I think it's quite funny telling this story. As you know, I manage a sports center where we hire staff, and I basically use this site, indeed.com, not sponsored, by the way, just plugging them, free plug indeed.
Not yet.
to hire our staff. And for some reason, it logged me into the employee side of it. So I actually have always logged into the employer side of things, not the employee side. And I've never really looked for jobs on job sites, because I've always sort of progressed through people I know or word of mouth sort of thing. So I was like, oh, I wonder what it's like to explore jobs from an employee perspective instead of being the person hiring. And I was thinking, what if I could do anything in the world other than being a manager of a sports center, what could I do? So I typed MBA just out of curiosity that day, simply because I logged into the wrong version of the site, and this popped up as, you know, an interview panelist on an NBA show, and I was hooked. Had a phone call with Ben, I think the day after the applications closed, or the day of, and we sort of hit it off, and we talked about the NBA a little bit, and he was sold from there, and I was sold, and the rest was history. And I think it's probably one of the best things I've ever done, because it's so weird, as you would know as well, from the connections you make, it's such a small world. Everyone is affiliated somehow within the sporting industry, and I've made some really great connections through you guys and then outside of you guys as well. And then obviously, you know, I got to do some stuff on the AFL show and made some connections with Footy Live and then AFL Bites as well, which you fondly know of.
So starting to cover everything of today's interview. Go ahead, yeah, keep going.
That's right. I want to roll here. But no, generally, I just think like that's the biggest thing for me, is that take unpaid work or volunteer work, because it opens doors for you. It opens doors for you that you wouldn't have ever thought would ever open. So yeah, no, super excited to be here. I know that answer tells you nothing about me, but had to get off my chest.
Tells me everything. We might touch on everything you said in about the next 40 minutes. Let's go further. What about you? I know you're from Melbourne. That's my entire background on you, is you're a stat head, which we'll get to. Andrew from Melbourne. Mm. So tell me the background. Did you grow up in Melbourne? What's your family structure like? Do you play sports as a kid? Like, give me something.
Yeah, now let's talk about me now. So I was born and raised in Melbourne. I was born 18 minutes after my brother, so I'm a twin. I don't know if I told you that.
No, brand new news. Breaking.
Yeah, there you go. So it'd be funny if I sent him in to do one of the recordings at my place, you know, and you didn't know. If ever I can't make a show, maybe I'll put him in instead of me. we're born and raised in Melbourne. Super sporty family. My dad's multi-talented. He's very musical and sporty. So, you know, we were growing up and we were playing, you know, piano, drums. I did swimming, tennis, basketball, soccer. My favorite sport is footy, and we didn't even play that. I've done a bit of mixed netball for a social aspect. Yeah, we were really academic. We did little athletics. Always were super focused and driven thanks to our family. My older brother is like super successful, and my older sister is really strong and has a great work ethic as well. And then there's my twin brother and I who have went into business together. So I think our family is a family of six. We're super driven. We work hard, but we work hard and we play hard. So we enjoy a good time. We love sport. And yeah, I think I've had a pretty normal upbringing, I suppose you could say, like great family, great extended family around me as well. I have a lot of cousins my age. Yeah, I guess in a nutshell, like three words, I'd say I'm sporty, musical, and I guess I'm versatile. I suppose you can say I have a lot of interests. So yeah.
Melbourne footy, who's your team?
So I go for St Kilda Saints. So yeah, I know you're not a huge footy fan, but for someone who says they go for Saints, your reaction should be, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. So
I'm trying to be polite, mate. I want you to keep coming back on the NBA show. I don't want to scare you off. It's been a good year.
To put in perspective, the St Kilda Saints have won one premiership since 19... I don't know when they were even established, but 1966 was the last flag they won. So for a lot of members, they've been waiting 60-plus years for a premiership, which I think is now currently the longest drought in AFL history. So
how are we looking this
that
year?
Answers your question. This year, we're looking solid for a top six potentially, and maybe in the next 3 years, we're looking to win an AFL.
Setting yourself
again.
Up for heartbreak, mate. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Always, always.
All right, so let's pivot back to basketball for a little bit. So playing a bit as a kid, did you play socially, club sport, school sport? How'd you get into basketball for the first time?
I think just local to our area, we had a sports basketball academy for 4 to 5 year olds. So we started when we were really young, when they had those like miniature rings, and it was kind of just chaos, just kids running everywhere on the court. But we loved the sport. My dad was actually a huge cricketer, but for some reason, Trent's my twin brother, we loved the team sports. And just always loved it, not necessarily watching, but I suppose, yeah, we got like a lot of basketball toys and gifts from people when we were younger, and I think that kind of maybe helped a little bit. I think I remember getting like a Shaquille O'Neal toy when I was 4 years old. I'd play nothing like him, by the way. But yeah, it sort of progressed from there. Then we went into domestic competition at a place in Sandringham, about 15 minutes from our house. And then from there, we pretty much always played in basketball teams throughout till about 18 when we started our own team with our friends, and then playing today. So yeah.
And in terms of viewership, were you a fan of the NBL here in Australia? Did you go straight to the NBA? I want to get into the fantasy team aspect of it in a sec, but anything locally?
Yeah, so I went to a few NBL games as a kid, but never really, for some reason, this is probably not going to sound the greatest for me, but I always love watching the highest level of sport, whether it comes to soccer, basketball, footy, whatever it is. So when I saw the standard that was in the NBA, I was pretty much hooked from about maybe high school days, where there was a few people who really enjoyed it. I remember we had accounting class where we got computers in the class, and that was probably the worst thing they could have done because we didn't study at all. We were just basically on NBA.com all day, and everyone loved the Celtics and Miami Heat at that time, and the Lakers a little bit as well. But yeah, I was a big Celtics fan when I grew up and followed it religiously. And then I think I lost love for it around mid-20s, and then picked up in the last 5 or 6 years with my love for it again. So yeah, I watched it daily, and I don't think I could imagine a life without it, to be honest.
Yeah, we share that at least. I don't know what I would do if I had the spare time given back. Like, I could have been a professional at so many other things if you gave me 4 hours back every day for the last 10 years. Okay, so you bring a sort of interesting perspective when we talk about NBA stuff to the NBA crew here on the network. We all kind of have a great, like a different perspective, and it's really interesting. You're particularly from a stat head and like a fantasy team point of view. I know you used to call yourself the fantasy team fanatic, and you've done some special things in that area, which feel free to elaborate on. What necessarily drives you to like the, instead of watching a whole game, which I know you do, but also going through the games you didn't watch and going through the stats and the box scores and going, all right, this guy's, you know, it's only the second quarter, but he's 9 for 9. I want to make this observation, or I want to see how he compares to this historical figure. Talk me through what interests you in that stat side and how you think it gives you an interesting perspective when it comes to basketball as a whole, like the culture. So when we talk about stuff that happens across the season, Jack, who's on the show, really likes the high level stuff and his Detroit Pistons. He doesn't delve into the statistical stuff that you do. So why do you like doing that, and what do you think you get from it?
It's a great question. I think, well, for one, I've always loved a game, and I've always been a bit of a gamer, and I'm trying to think about how do I enjoy stats. And I think there's a I guess the fantasy, I was really hooked onto at a young age when I did AFL fantasy, which was the first thing. It was really popular around the time I was 16 or 17 years old. Everyone in my school had what was called an AFL Dream Team, where you put together your customized teams essentially, and it's basically all to do with stats. So you end up looking at the scores of the game and going, oh, my player got, 30 disposals for the game, or he got 10 marks. And then, when the AFL season ended, I realized that the NBA had an even bigger fantasy culture around it. So I suppose, having joined an NBA fantasy site, I think that's where I began loving my love for stats, I guess, with the NBA and the box scores. But even so, not necessarily just at NBA level, like even in our domestic competitions, I've always been really interested in finding out how many assists someone gets in a game, or how many points, or how many field goal attempts they had. Because I think you can learn a lot from stats. And I think also stats can be really misleading as well. As when you have a small sample size, or they might not tell you a full story. They might, leave out, the 1% acts that players make in a game. So you have players that might not end up on the stat sheet, but they are really good players. Like Jared Vanderbilt might be a good example of that. Someone who might not get, 20 points a game, but geez, he might have stopped 20 points a game and not recorded a stat. So I think, yeah, I love looking into them. I think it tells you a lot about a player, how much they've improved. For example, if a player has 12 points, a 12 point average in one season, and then, in the next 3 years, he's increased by, 2 or 3 points a year, you can see an upward trend there. So I think you can look at a lot when it comes to stats. But really, for me, it's always been about the fantasy and the gamified approach. But now I think I look at it from an analytical point of view, and I love to see how it relates to like team performances, if players do better at home, if they do better when the team wins, and more so as well, how players do when other players are out of the team. So for example, I'll use, Cleveland Cavaliers example, and this is probably something to do with betting and prop markets. Like Max Strus, he gets 2 to 3 assists every single game when Donovan Mitchell isn't playing. And why is that? Oh, it's because, he gets more passes receives, and he sets up more potential assists. So I find that stuff really interesting, because I think as much as sport throws you a lot of curveballs and nothing can ever be predicted, I think there are patterns that you can find within stats. And I think trying to explore those a little bit more and how they relate to wins, and I guess wins in terms of team wins and prop market wins as well, I think is really interesting.
You and I might share I'm in so many group chats that are around the periphery of sports betting just because of like how much basketball I watch. People are like, hey, Donovan Mitchell's not playing tonight. What have you got for us? And I think you and I both share that mindset of, okay, I actually have a good idea about how this is going to go 80% of the time. And of course, that 20% of the time we're wrong. We never win anything, but it's always fun. Like
That's
that, you've hit something interesting with the gamified aspect, because that is what sports gambling is now. But prior to that, in fantasy, it's exactly how they get you into the conversations around the periphery of sport, getting you to watch what the injury market is, the trade deadline deals. It's all based on this little, can I get more points than you this week in my matchup, which I enjoyed immensely for a period of time as well. So I'm glad to hear we share some similarity there. Just quickly on the sports
absolutely.
facility, we were talking off air about, I don't know much about the sports facility you manage with your brother. So give me some of the backstory. I know the smallest amount of it, but tell the listeners.
Yeah, so essentially we were running this business together called Eastern Indoor Sports Centre in Melbourne, which was essentially a large warehouse that had three sports courts and a play centre as well for kids, and then a little cafe area as well. So it was, I guess, a play centre slash sports centre is what we call it. And we run netball, soccer, bubble soccer, archery, Nerf gun, dodgeball, and other parties there, as well as senior sport competitions. And then there's obviously the kids aspect, which is the birthday party, where we have disco parties and we have kids parties for ages 4 through to about 14. We've got big slides there as well, and a team of about 20 staff that we manage. And yeah, that was really super exciting to run, because we never really had gone into business together. We'd always worked in the sports industry as managers at the same place, but we never actually did it for ourselves. And we took the leap of faith about 6 years ago, and found it to be a huge success, minus a little break in COVID. But no, very big success, and we loved it. And I don't think we could look back. I think moving forward, I could only work for myself now that I've done it, and enjoy the perks of running your own business.
So what's a day in the life in something that large with 20, was it 20 people reporting underneath you? Like I imagine,
Yeah.
yeah, it's a complicated day in the life, but can I get some insight as someone who aspires to own their own indoor soccer
Yeah.
arena or something? Nerf gun, the
Yeah.
bubble soccer. I heard bubble
Yeah.
soccer and I kind of zoned out for a bit. I
That's
was just
right.
imagining myself
That's
playing.
imagining yourself playing that. Yeah. I'll have to get you a free session there. It's very interesting. It's certainly a lot of accountability when you're managing 120 teams plus 20 staff, referees, umpires, suppliers, contractors. It's a big deal. And I suppose the best way I can say it is you're working every day, but not necessarily 8 hours a day or 24/7. I think, you just always have to be on the clock sort of thing. To put in perspective, like when I used to go to footy games on a Saturday night, I would sometimes get phone calls during the matches and stuff with, the power went off in the center, or how do we fix this? And, you kind of got to be a leader outside of the workplace when it comes to managing a business, I feel, a business of that size, I think. So I think, yeah, it is very overwhelming to some degree, but the perks of running your own business, like seeing your ideas come to fruition and also enjoying the achievements with your team, and yeah, like I said, coming up with an idea, putting it into place, and then just seeing people thrive off it is a really cool feeling. And obviously managing your own hours and getting to wake up when you want, stay up as late as you like, check emails from home, that sort of stuff is really exciting as well. And if there's a complaint, not that we had many complaints, it was a really nice environment, but you're the manager, you get to make the final call. So those things are kind of exciting as well. But yeah, day-to-day life is literally going into the center, checking emails, cleaning the place, managing the staff, like dealing with issues, setting up for the weekend and making sure everything runs as smooth as possible. But then when there's free time, I guess it's putting on your strategic hat and, thinking about the strategic direction of the place. What new ideas can I implement, or where are we going to achieve profit in the next few months sort of thing. So always forward planning and forward thinking as well.
If you could do one thing differently, given the 6 years of knowledge you've now got in your brain, looking back on it, do you have an idea about something you might do differently? Is it something in marketing? Would you set yourself, more limited hours? Anything there?
I probably would have given a bit more responsibility to people below me, I think. I think the place relied heavily on Trent and I. We had fantastic staff, but a lot of the times the reason why I was contacted outside of the workplace was because I really didn't train anyone else up in areas that I probably could have.
Mm.
And now that we've sort of moved on a little bit, I'm starting to see the growth in and potential in our staff, and they really were capable of handling a lot of our responsibilities. So I think in future, being less of a manager and more of an owner would probably be beneficial in a way. Spending more time to grow the business as opposed to working in the business would be my biggest advice, I'd say.
Do you want to spend any time on moving on? I don't know how much I'm allowed to push you into what you're doing in your, hopefully the next
endeavors. I will give a little hint. We have moved the sports center on to two fantastic new owners. And after 6 years, we kind of felt that we wanted to leave on a high. We got the generous couple wanted to make a generous offer. And we thought, yeah, we've done it for 6 years and we want to go out on a high. That's essentially the reason. I think people assume that businesses sell out of desperation, and that wasn't the case here at all. We ran a really great business and we're kind of ready for the next adventure. And speaking of that, I won't give away too much, but I have spoken to you off the Zoom link in regards to my idea. And I think it's funny, like as an entrepreneur, or I guess a daring business adventure, I do have a lot of ideas that have failed. I have group chats with my siblings where we talk about ideas for days. And that's what people in business do. Not every idea works, but this one is the idea where I go, I'm going to go for it. And I mean that financially, physically, mentally. I'm just going to roll with this. If I fail, I fail. But I really am going to take this idea and then run with it as far as I can. It is to do with the AFL and to do with sports and data, which is essentially my biggest love at the moment. So I'm really excited to see where this goes, and hopefully it's something that takes off, and hopefully, yeah, within the next 5 years, it becomes a notable brand in Australia.
Well, first of all, I wish you the best of luck, because I find the idea fairly exciting myself. Secondly, it's a great mindset to have. Everyone's very scared of failure, but you don't really grow unless you do have some limit of failure physically in the gym. You don't grow unless you get to the point where you can't go anymore. And same with mentally, sometimes that growth can get stifled if you're just achieving and you don't push yourself into the uncomfortable. So very excited to see what happens with you moving forward. I don't know if we should talk about how we've collabed in the past as well on AFL Bites. If you're not aware, I run a daily NBA podcast, goes for 5 to 10 minutes, about all the news in the NBA. So we go every game, every day, all the stats, the news, the injuries. And Julian, you came on last year to run the AFL version of that, which got way more popular than my original NBA one pretty bloody quickly, based off of some shrewd networking between the two of us. Do you want to talk about your experience in the podcasting realm on AFL Bites? And do you want to come back this year? We should probably talk about it. The AFL season.
That's right. Putting me on the spot here. I can't say no in front of the listeners. No, I'd absolutely love to. I can't wait to start that again. And it had nothing to do with me, more so the connection you made with Footy Live and getting it in front of the right audience. But I just think the concept is fantastic. I loved NBA Bytes or B-Ball Bytes, sorry, as soon as I heard it. And I think we both sort of had this same idea when you brought AFL Bytes to me. I kind of was already thinking there'd be a big market for that, and evidently there was. I think the concept is brilliant. 5 to 10 minute chats or recaps about what happened throughout the week is what people are after. People just don't have time these days and they want something brief, and it sort of prepares you to chat about the sports or the games that you might have missed just with a little 5 minute recap. So I think they're fantastic. I really enjoy doing them. I think when we hit that first episode or whichever episode that reached what 1200 listeners or so within the first, you know, 2 or 3 hours, you and I were just really excited by that, because you know those numbers might not seem huge to the people who look at YouTube videos that get millions of views, but for us and our audience, like, that's actually a really significant achievement. And we were super proud of that.
You know, if you want to belittle it, a dumb little idea, but it's the first time we'd kind of, you know, let's see if there's a market for this. And yeah, you're right. I saw 1,200 in 2 hours and went, all right, there might be something here. So if you hear Julian's enthusiastic tone and want to do an NRL version of NRL Bytes, hit me up. The B-Ball Bytes got renamed to Daily NBA with Alexander J. We're still going. I got some guests going on. Look, I'm just saying, if you find a sport that you want to do 5 to 10 minute stuff, I've got the infrastructure already in place, but I don't know how much I should be sponsoring my own stuff here on Mojo. So again, all started by the connections we made here at Mojo. So if you're listening and you want to get involved somehow, you want to be a panelist on the show, you want to do something with any other sport, reach out, because this connection between you and I, Julian, we met on Mojo. I had the business idea on Mojo. We met, we got in touch with Sportsmate and Footy Live via, you know, some connections we try to push here on Mojo as well. So it all kind of comes full circle. Let's pivot for a second about something I haven't prepared you for. I was on your Instagram a couple of months ago and I happened to notice you've got a beautiful singing voice. Talk to me about music, your career. What are you doing?
How funny. I actually didn't know you did that. I get a little embarrassed talking about it, but I'll shed a little light on it. As I said, my dad was super musical. He played the guitar and he was a good singer as well. So I shouldn't say as well. I don't actually like the sound of my own voice, believe it or not, which is kind of ironic given that I post singing videos. I actually post them without listening to them a lot of the time. And I 100%
sometimes
mean
you have
that.
To do that. Yeah,
that's right. But it is actually quite a well-known fact that a lot of singers don't like their own voice. So no, yeah, funnily enough, I learned piano when I was growing up, and then in high school I learned the drums, and I will say I was quite a good drummer and I really enjoyed drumming. And then in year 12, my twin brother decided to sing at one of the assemblies, and I harmonized with him, and you know, we pretty much received like a really good round of applause, and people were really happy with the performance. And from there, we ended up, I guess, forming a little duo where we did covers around Melbourne. We did a few gigs at a few bars across Melbourne, and then we started recording music and getting some nice feedback. And yeah, for me, it's always just been a fun thing and a bit of a release. I've never been huge on performance when it comes to singing. I prefer more just recording and then sharing it with my family and friends. Never really considered doing it for paid work or anything, but it's always something that I find very therapeutic and something I can, I guess, it helps me release from pressures of work and daily life. So I'm really thankful that I have some musical abilities that I can, you know, explore in my downtime.
You know, it's really funny. I saw a video where there was two versions of you singing and harmonizing together. And now I'm just dawning on me, it might be your twin. It might not be some tricky video editing. Right.
Sometimes I do claim myself. Yeah.
Have to figure that one out. Have you got any favorite musicians? Funny.
It's funny. I actually have a very broad taste
I figured
in
you
music.
Might,
so
yeah.
I listen to almost anything, to be honest. So I don't actually really have a favorite musician. I think anything acoustic I generally like, and anything, I guess I like pop music, but when people strip down the extra instruments and just make an acoustic version, I enjoy listening to those. So if I was to chuck on a Spotify playlist, I suppose I'd put on, you know, Aussie classics, pop songs, acoustic songs, that sort of thing. So yeah, but very broad.
Do you have anything you're listening to this week or any underrated gems you want to share that to, you know, prove your music knowledge?
No, but I will say my dad's a big Elvis fan and my mum's a big Michael Bublé fan. So I think I have those as a bit of inspiration sometimes. So yeah, just to further embarrass myself.
Mine's the old Frankie Sinatra, if I'm ever in down
there. You go. I love
Frankie.
Love Frankie.
Look, we've blitzed through everything I prepared. You managed to wrap up everything in the first 60 seconds and I'm just getting back to the back end of it. You got any questions for me, mate? Yeah, geez. You're really crushing. Let's talk. Go ahead.
Yeah, I suppose we could talk a bit about the betting side of the stats. So I guess I didn't mention that a lot, but I'd be curious to hear about some of your experience with that as well. Obviously, in this chat, I don't condone betting or anything like that. I think gamble within reason and do it as a social thing or a, you know, a fun thing as opposed to serious. But I guess, yeah, what was funny with my love for stats, and I probably should have answered this more thoroughly earlier, was that it somehow changed from my love for fantasy to my love for to sports betting, and putting my knowledge to use. But I think what I've learned throughout the years of doing it is that no matter how much research you do, you just cannot predict the future, and things are going to happen in sport, and I guess the betting agencies are always one step ahead of you, and they know things that you don't know. And I've sort of worked that out throughout the 5-6 years of doing some in-depth research for hours and hours upon end. I've had a lot of success, and I've also had some losing streaks and stuff as well. And ultimately, the answer remains the same for anyone, is that you lose in the long run, unless you have a system in place where it's guarantees that you win. Not, I'm talking about when you place prop bets and you think that you're a sports expert sort of thing. There's just no way to win that way. But I'd be curious to hear your journey and talk about some of the close losses you've had and share some of the interesting ones that I've had, because I just, some of them are just baffling. We don't have to put it into a monetary figure, but just more so what was the result?
I'm not a huge sports bettor in terms of value and money. So when I do sports bets, I'm always $1, $2, $3 kind of thing.
Yes.
It seems like our values are aligned there, where I do it to kind of back up the knowledge or to try and, you know, how do I put this the best way? So if I've got time out of my day and there's one really interesting game, I'll put a single game, same game, multi on, where I'll have 20 legs. I'll have a dollar on it, because I'm like, I reckon I know how this matchup works. I think, you know, the center's injured, so I reckon they're going to play this backup center extra minutes. They'll play someone at the four they don't usually do. I reckon this guy's, you know, a bit of a shooting slump. No one's calling it out. So I like to kind of get the analytical brain on, and, you know, I'll get 18 out of 20 and get really frustrated that my $1 bet didn't pay off. But that's kind of how I look at sports betting in the short term. In the long term, I do a thing at the start of every NBA season, and I'm starting to do it in the NRL season as well, where I'll do season-long bets.
Yes.
So
you have mentioned this before. Yeah.
30 teams in the NBA, I'll spend 8 hours before I put this bet in, looking at the past 5-year history, transactions between teams, whether they're better or worse than last year, whether the league or the Western Conference or the division of teams is stronger or weaker. And I'll put 30 bets on that are all related about the under-overs on the teams. I've been doing this 5 or 6 years, and the last couple of years, I'm like 27 out of 30, 26 out of 28, because two will get voided for some reason. And these are all dollar bets that pay $500,000. So this is the grand scheme of my brain is, I think I'm a genius. I can win $500,000. And of course you can't, and you never do, but it's something to check in halfway through the season. All right, how did I think I was doing? How does my analytical brain predict what's going to happen? So for example, this year in the NBA, Joel Embiid's copped an injury for the Philadelphia 76ers. He was probably going to be the MVP, and Philadelphia were a really, really good team. But I looked at that injury risk back in the start of the year and went, I think there's probably a fair chance that he doesn't play a lot, and this team loses James Harden before the start of the season, and they hit the under of whatever. I think they were at 49.5. I don't know what they are now because I didn't prepare myself. But that's the kind of long-term story vision thinking that I like to do when I bet my little $1 or $2 things. I'd be interested to hear what yours are like.
That's a really nice story in a way. I think that's what you should be doing, is placing dollar bets for things that might, you know, get you excited with a nice 5-figure return. But yeah, I think one
it
of
helps
the worst
me sleep
things
at night, Julian.
Yeah, very good, very good. I think one of the things that probably didn't work in my favor was that I basically had a local sports betting store around the corner from me, literally within walking distance. So we used to place little $5 bets on the AFL. And then one day I was like, oh, do I download a sports betting app or do I not? And one day I decided to do it and put $100 in and say, you know what? I'm just going to put $100 in. I'm never going to touch it again. And I think one of the worst things that could have happened was that I won $500 the first night I bet. And from there, like, it was just, it's a really interesting feeling. Like you kind of get hooked at that point. I've always been really safe with my bank management. I think things could have got dangerous at times,
set
but
a deposit
I've never,
limit.
Yeah, that's right. I've never really exceeded what I can't spend or what I can't afford, put it that way. But I think what was really interesting was I was starting to see that my research was turned into results. And I would be spending an hour or two a night on something that would only pay 2-to-1 sort of thing. But I would be sure that bet was going to hit. And I've had some really interesting wins. I've hit a 464-to-1 multi. I've hit a 261-to-1. You know, I've hit a lot of 2-to-1s. I've lost probably 1,000 bets by one leg. you know, as you know, by 1 point, one rebound, one assist. And I've had some of the most brutal losses you could imagine, as everyone has. But one that sticks out for me is I think I had one of those crazy ones where you place a $3 to $5 bet that returns $20,000. And I remember one of them, I had everything ticked off. All it needed was PJ Washington to get 8 rebounds, and he had 7, right? And I remember he had 7 at the midway point of the third quarter, and the game went to full time, and he somehow didn't get his 8th rebound. And I remember watching the game back where you can watch every single rebound. And I thought, oh, do I do this to myself or do I not? And I recall this rebound that he had the ball literally in his hands. And for some reason, one of the opposition players, he didn't need to do this. He went and tried to like spoil the ball out of his hands for some reason. And PJ Washington literally just spilled the ball. He had it in his hands and it just spilled. Like if you played it in slow motion, you would have counted it as a rebound, but he just happened to drop it. And I felt like I just saw $20,000 leave my hands as it left his hands. And it was funny. I tried to email the NBA being like, is this a rebound? It was in his hands. I tried. Funnily enough, though, I have had moments where I have been, I have lost on bets that I know I saw were actual wins, and I've had to email the NBA and they've changed them. Mm. I've had that happen maybe about 4 or 5 times. So some of the statisticians are a little bit questionable when it comes to some of the stats, but they always rectify the issues if they're there. So credit to them. But yeah, I suppose what's really interesting is, like you said, you talk about how much players' productivity is going to increase when they get increased minutes, or how opposition matchups are going to affect their rebound performances. I think stats as well are really exciting. Today, Nurkic had 31 rebounds.
I haven't even seen the highlights for that one. Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. So I don't necessarily just look at stats from a betting point of view, but yeah, what's interesting is the systems I guess I put in place. It's just done on Google Sheets, but I basically scrape data from one of the basketball websites that has all the players.
Do we do the exact same thing? I scrape, literally, I've written a script to scrape data from Basketball Reference and just imported it.
That's right. So I do use Basketball Reference. And then I'll give you a typical rundown of a 2-to-1 bet that I do. I basically download, scrape the data from Basketball Reference. I then get the data for the last 10 games that the opponent has produced. And I basically have a sheet that tells you the rebounds, assist points, et cetera, for that the opposition players had against that team. So I have a sheet for OKC Thunder, and it'll tell you like the center's minimum has been 7 rebounds across the last 10 or 15 games. And then I'll look into the players that got those rebounds, and I'll see, okay, what sort of player is getting rebounds against this team? What sort of player is getting assists? How many players are getting over 2 assists a game? How many players are getting over 4 assists a game? How many players are getting over 6 rebounds a game? Sort of working out who from the team they're playing would get that in this game, I suppose. Then I'm looking at the actual averages based off the data that I pull. And then I'm looking at the averages based off the lineup that they're playing with. So that's really important, because something might have hit 90% of the time in the past over the last 100 games, but how many times has it hit when they're playing with the lineup that they're playing with today?
Yeah.
That's what really separates a good bettor from a bad bettor, I reckon. And I think when I hit what I call a match, which is basically, let's say the OKC Thunder over the last 15 games, the center from the opposition has recorded 8+ rebounds, and then they're playing the Lakers and Anthony Davis has recorded 8+ rebounds in his last 60 out of 63 matches. That to me seems like a match.
Mm.
So I'll put that into a multi, and then I'll sort of build up until I'm happy with all the legs, and then place an amount I'm comfortable with. So I think that's sort of my process. I think it's a bit more thorough than just sort of going, oh, LeBron's going to score 30 points because he's LeBron. You know, I think it's a bit more in depth than that. And
there's only one of those you can rely on the league, and it's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to score between 30 and 35
that's right,
points.
That's
he's
right.
He's done it every bloody game
that's
this season.
That's right. And I think another one I really worked on in the last few years is making sure my bets don't contradict themselves. So I used to do things where I would say, oh, LeBron's going to get 6 assists, but then, Porzingis is going to have 6 rebounds. Well, if LeBron's getting 6 assists, well, then a lot has to go right for him to get 6 assists and Porzingis to get 6 rebounds. And I didn't even realize I was canceling out my own bets, which is such a silly move. So now if I'm saying that LeBron is going to get 6 assists, I'm thinking about who's not going to get many rebounds. So they kind of help each other. Same as with if I'm putting down LeBron's going to get 6 assists, well, then I'm going to say a lot of them are going to go to Anthony Davis. So I might put Anthony Davis in a points multi. So it's kind of thinking like that. I suppose I'm making smarter bets that way. But as I said, sometimes you can put in the most research in the world and your bet still won't take place. I had something that occurred, 20 out of 21 times, and it was looking like it was going to hit again. And then it just by some random chance, it didn't. And that just happened. You know, it happens all the time in sport. You can never predict what's going to happen. And bettors know that. And the betting agencies know that as well. And that's exactly why I would never recommend gambling.
We're going to wrap up this segment and head to a break quickly before we come back with our panic questions. Remember, gamble responsibly, set a deposit limit. I don't know what my obligations are to say these, but we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Right.
Hopefully it's not a gambling ad. See you in a second. All right, Julian Balthazar, we're back from the break. It is time for the panic questions. I don't know if you can hear that music. Actually, I do know that you can't hear that music because it's getting added in post-production, but I swear there's some up-tempo TikToking or something.
I'm panicking anyway.
All right, question number one. Who is your hero?
Ooh. Celebrity-wise, it's a bit of a funny one, but Dwayne Johnson.
Okay, yeah, I'll pay it.
I admire his work ethic. He works out twice before everyone wakes up, I believe, in the morning. And then, super talented and just a really great role model, I believe. So, yeah, Dwayne Johnson. But otherwise, outside of celebrities, my older brother and my parents, they're great role models.
What is your biggest fear?
Ooh, probably dying average, I think. I don't want to get to the end of my time and go, I wish I did more. I think, yeah, I really want to achieve a lot in my life. And yeah, I don't like the thought of, I think failure is good to an extent, but I don't want to, you know, regret not trying harder. And yeah, would hate to die average.
If you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be?
I'm quite happy in Melbourne. Thanks, Alex. But if I had to choose, I would say America purely for the NBA. I honestly loved it when I was over there. And if it was on every night and I could go every night, I would.
Any particular spot, East Coast, West Coast, into the mountains, doesn't matter?
I did like San Fran when I was there. San Fran was very nice.
What makes you laugh the most?
I think a night with the boys. I've got two mates and we hang out most Friday nights, watching footy and just talking and laughing. And yeah, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Do you go to the comedy scene in Melbourne much on?
I actually don't. You know, that's something I should do a little bit more. I do enjoy the thought of going to see comedians. I don't know why I don't do it more. That's a 2024 goal for me. Put it there.
And the final question, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
Hopefully on the Mojo Sports Network still. That would be fantastic.
Oh, what a plug. He's a professional, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. I've redeemed myself after all the betting talk. I think I'd love for you to talk about me as a very notable brand, as a company CEO of a very notable sports data company. So, yeah, let's hope that it takes off.
Big ambitions, but I have no doubt you'll make inroads there. Look, usually this is where we wrap up the show, but you did mention Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So I want to see if you're a WWE fan or not. Do you watch any wrestling?
Not anymore, but when I was a kid, yes. I grew up watching The Rock. And then,
you know, he's back at the moment?
I actually didn't even know that. There you go. I'll have to. Now I know what I'm doing after this chat. There you go.
He came back as a good guy. The fans hated it. He's now a bad guy, and it is amazing. No. It's amazing.
Not again.
We can end today's chat for the sickos with some NBA talk. 20 games left in the season. What's happening? What's interesting to you? Who's getting MVP? Who's making the finals?
Oh, I love watching SGA at the moment. I think, was he your MVP pick?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Oh, it's just fantastic. They're the youngest, one of the youngest teams. And if they made
the finals, they'd be the youngest team in history to make the finals.
I find it baffling. I watched the Suns game today and just watching, they're unbelievable. They won and they were challenged. And then all of a sudden, SGA just, he makes every shot look easy. I don't know how he does it. He's a fantastic player. He's really, really, really good.
I'm looking at the stats for that game because I haven't seen him yet. Yeah, I've just gotten home.
I think, as you said earlier, he's probably hit another 30 plus
35,
points.
Yeah, there you go.
And somehow Nurkic still got 30 rebounds for that game. Crazy. In terms of the finals, the Celtics look really good. I don't know if you saw the game today against the Warriors. That was absolutely bizarre. I can't even explain how that happened.
50-point win, yeah, crazy. They're the first team in history to have 3 50-point wins in a season.
Wow, there you go. So they're super strong, especially at home. So they'll be very hard to stop. But you can never write off the Denver Nuggets. But I'm really excited about the playoffs. I think there'll be a few teams that can make a push. I'd love to see how the Timberwolves and the Clippers go in the playoffs. I think they're really, I don't know, I think they're ready. The players in the team are ready to experience playoffs. So hopefully they can make it to the finals and hopefully get a win as well.
Interesting you mentioned both the Wolves and the Clippers. I don't know if you saw that game today. 88-89. What a slugfest. Absolute slugfest.
They must have heard our podcast about the too much offense. It's nice to know Rudy Gobert's listening.
Anything else in the NBA we should touch on? I'm just looking at the standings. It's been a fun season, man. This is why I love watching the NBA. Like, The product on the court's pretty good. Like, we complain that there's too much scoring, but in all honesty, it's been pretty good. The storylines have been really good. Like, I know some of us watch the NBA for the storylines. It's been a fantastic season. Hopefully we get a full playoff run, which no major injuries, touch wood, from here on out. I think we've already lost maybe the best player in the world. We'll see if he comes back in Embiid. Been a fun season. So anything else you want to touch on before we say goodbye?
No, I thought you were talking about Jalen Brunson for a second.
Oh,
I was going to say,
settle
down.
He's not even the best on his team. He's the third best player on that team.
Credit to Josh Hart. He was fantastic today. It's been an interesting season. I think there have been a lot of blowouts and games where, as you said, the lack of defense has been concerning. But ultimately, I think the playoffs are going to have some really interesting storylines. I'm really keen to see how Anthony Edwards goes in the playoffs. I'm keen to see how Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown combine with Porzingis in the playoffs and Jrue Holiday as well. Interesting to see if the Warriors can make a run in the play-ins or the playoffs. So, yeah, I think there are some really exciting times ahead of us with the playoffs this year. It's going to be a fantastic finish. I really don't know who the last two teams are going to be. It could be anyone at this point.
Do you know who's lurking in seventh in the Eastern Conference? 8-2 in the last 10 appearances, 34-26.
Don't tell me it's a magic, is it?
It's Miami Heat. You can't
Miami Heat.
Write Jimmy Butler off. I am so scared of that man. I said last year on the NBA show, I will never be able to write him off ever again. So I'm picking them to win it all. Thank you very much. Go ahead.
I did see them. They are quietly lurking, the Miami Heat. And Duncan Robinson's starting to fire a little bit as well. You're right. You cannot write them off.
That was our 4 minutes on the NBA Sicko Talk. Thank you very much, Jules, for joining us today. Where can the people find you? You got anything to plug? I don't know what you're doing. Do you just want to plug the NBA show? Every Wednesday, we've changed to Wednesdays here on the Mojo Sports Network. Floor is yours. Take us out.
We have obviously catch us on the Mojo Sports Network on Wednesday nights. And then obviously AFL Bites will be starting very, very shortly, with the season about to commence, I believe, next weekend.
Yeah,
so,
we should probably talk about the first episode.
That's right. We've got to get to work. So I'll leave you on that note.
All right. Thanks, mate. Appreciate it. We'll see you in a couple of days for the NBA show. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time, Alex. Appreciate it.
That concludes my little chat with Jules. If you liked today's episode, please consider leaving us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. That's the best way to show support. Do you have somebody in mind who you want to hear more from? We've had a couple of people reach out to us in the last couple of weeks. They want to be on the show. You can let us know on all of our socials or mojosportsnetwork@gmail.com. I'm fairly certain that's what our Gmail account is, but you know what? It's fairly late. I've finished this glass of wine. I'm editing this. Going to bed. We'll see you on the other side next week. Whatever show you listen to, NRL, AFL, Women in Leagues coming back soon, NRLW stuff, and of course, my NBA show. I'm Alexander J. We'll see you next time.